ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
One of the highlights of the entertainment year in Australia is when Opera Australia stages a production on a gigantic floating stage on Sydney Harbour. Sometimes that production is an opera. Aida, La Traviata, La Boheme, Carmen, Madama Butterfly. But sometimes it's a musical, The Phantom of the Opera, or, like this year, West Side Story. The original version of the musical made its Broadway debut more than 60 years ago, but with a recent film remake directed by Steven Spielberg and stage revivals in Australia, the show is bigger than ever. This year, Kimberly Hodgson plays the key role of Anita, the best friend of Maria in West Side Story, and she is our guest this morning. Kimberly, welcome to Overnights.
Hello, how are you?
How are you feeling? It sounds like you're enjoying the show.
Oh, you know what? It's one of those shows where you just, it's so challenging, but it's one of those bucket list shows that you just want to be a part of. It's an incredible production. Yeah.
And from what you're saying, I kind of get the feeling that it is Opera on the Harbour the kind of the grand final, the Melbourne Cup, the Boxing Day test for singers that you all want to be part of it and you all look forward to it?
Yes, absolutely. It's the theatrical experience for someone to not only just watch it but to be a part of is unlike anything you will ever, ever, ever experience. And I've done the production once before. I was in the production in 2019 in the ensemble. And the feeling that I had of accomplishment after I finished that contract, I thought this is something unlike anything else that I will ever be a part of. And to now be a part of it again and to be playing the role of Anita this time is just the cherry on top. It is truly such an incredible experience on so many levels to be a part of. And it's a wonderful production. I couldn't speak more highly of it.
It is brilliant. There's no doubt about that. But you played Francesca, I think, last time.
Yes, I did. I did. So I was in the ensemble and I played Francesca, which was, she's one of the ensemble girls. And she is one of the girls who sings I Feel Pretty as well. And I understudied Anita last time.
So you moved from Francesca to Anita. Does that mean in maybe 5 years' time when they do it again, you're going to be playing Maria?
Oh, who knows? You never, I mean, I'm turning, how old am I turning this year? 32. So I think, I mean, if it happens, that would be incredible. That would be, to say that I could tick all those off would be amazing, you know, but if not, that's okay. If I've missed my time, that's all right too. But Anita is a pretty incredible role. She is incredibly like complex and passionate and fiery and such a well-written character. So if this is the last one that I do for West Side Story, then I feel pretty proud to have done it.
Just before we leave the stage there, though, this gigantic floating stage, because of the rain on Friday in Sydney, your performance on Friday night was cancelled. You were back on stage last night. But tell me, what's it like being there performing in the rain? It could be really heavy rain. And does it bring you together as a cast? And in fact, there's a sense of camaraderie, I suppose, with the audience as well, because they're all sitting in the rain too.
When it rains for this production, it is so cinematic. I mean, we're set outside, you know, in the New York streets. If it rains, it literally looks like you're watching a movie happen right in front of you live. It is so cinematic and really spectacular in its ways. And I think that makes this production so exciting. I mean, we're battling with these natural elements of, you know, it could rain, it could be really windy, it could be freezing cold, it can be really hot and humid, and then the stage becomes quite slippery because of the humidity and the condensation on the stage kind of makes things like tricky as well. So there's all of these challenging things that are so out of our control that we as performers and crew are kind of dealing with on the fly that makes each show so different for the audience to experience. I think all the more exciting because they can clearly see what's going on. They're experiencing it too. So it's so beautiful on a balmy night when you're watching the theatre outside under the stars. It's so beautiful.
You have been in plenty of productions, but as you mentioned, sometimes as a cover or an understudy, you might call them these days, or used to call them, now they call them covers. What does it mean to you to get now in this production one of the leading roles? The role of Anita is one of the featured, you know, important roles in the show.
Yeah, I've spent probably the past 10 years in almost every single show that I've done over the 10 years, I have been an understudy or a cover, as you say. And it's one of those jobs, and it's for swings as well. So you have these job positions where you have to learn multiple tracks within your job title, and they are so important. And I think sometimes a little bit, they're the unsung heroes of on the stage that we would normally, maybe they would be a bit more unassuming with when you're in the ensemble. They work so hard. But these tracks where you have to learn multiple characters is incredibly challenging, and something that I pride myself on as working so hard towards and doing the job so well, that to now be able to play a role and to step into a role every night, one that is so, it's so hard to put words to it, but I am so proud to be able to tell the story, you know, in the front line, and to be able to not be worried about not having rehearsed enough or not having the time on the stage or not having all of these things that understudies and covers and swings have to kind of just be thrown on and be as prepared as they can and do the best job as they can, but to be able to really nurture this character and be able to have this character flourish into something so rich and so full is something that I'm so proud and grateful to be doing, because it's something that every actor, I think, cherishes. Of it's course. Just being with this character for as long as you can, and to develop this person into whoever that is that you want it to be. So, yeah, I feel incredibly grateful.
Tell me more about being a cover. Are you secretly, or maybe not so secretly, hoping to go on in that main role? Because you've covered Mary Poppins in Mary Poppins, Jasmine in Aladdin.
Yeah.
Also a bit of a problem that you become so good at covering those roles that they don't want to give you the lead role because you're good at stepping into that lead role.
Yes, you know what? Sometimes that does happen, and I think I got to a point in my career. I mean, 10 years in the scheme of things is not really a long amount of time, but when you've been working pretty consistently in the industry for 10 years, it seems like a long time. There was a point in that time where I thought, you know what, maybe I've done it. Maybe I've gone and proven to the industry that I'm valuable to be doing these tracks that cover and understudy. And it requires you to do multiple jobs, and sometimes they're hard to find. It's hard to find people who are able to do the multiple jobs. And so, yeah, it is tricky. It's one of those things where I enjoy working hard, and I enjoy the challenge of being, you know, splitting my brain into many different, you know, different focuses. And I really quite enjoy it. And it sometimes gets you stuck a little bit because there's not a lot of people that can do that, which also made this is also why I'm so passionate about celebrating, you know, understudies and swings, because I think it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of focus, and they are very special types of talents that can do this job. But I am very, very lucky that I'm now have been seen in a different light, and to be able to show that I can step into a leading role and to back it up and do it night after night is also something that is incredibly challenging. And to say that now I have done that, and I can prove myself to the industry and say I can do this, and I can do this with confidence and with great honor, I think is also a wonderful step in my career, and one that I'm really excited about.
Kimberly Hodgson is our guest, currently playing Anita in West Side Story. As you say, you covered Anita last time you were in the show. Did you actually ever get to go on as Anita in West Side Story?
Yes, so I covered Anita last time and I never went on. So it's one of those things. Sometimes you'll never go on for your cover, but, you know, spend the time learning all of the material and rehearsing and doing all your rehearsals at home, making sure that you're ready. If in the case you get the call, you're ready to go on. But no, I never went on. So I think it has made this experience even more special. Yeah. Just to say all that hard work that I did back then, kind of, even though it was a long time ago. And it's funny because we learn so much material that sometimes when you learn things, it kind of just, when you move on to the next thing, you forget about everything. Yeah. So you've got space to learn all the new things. But some of the things just started to flood back to me. And I remember in the most wonderful way, I said, oh gosh, I remember how wonderful she was. And it's nice to play and to feel how my version of my Anita has grown so much since then, which is very special, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not just knowing all the words and the music, obviously, but you need to know your cues, you need to make sure you don't bump into the furniture, you need to know what the other actors are doing as well. It's more than just knowing the songs. Do you know the entire show anyway?
When you are sitting and watching these rehearsals, I think it's one of those things. I'm the type of learner where I'm a visual learner. So I will watch and I will see a lot of things. And I think I learn a lot by osmosis, really. And I kind of, it's absorbed in your body somewhere. So you, as a performer, are quite aware of other people's tracks. And naturally that, I think, happens for any performer, regardless of whether you're understudying or covering anyone. I think we as performers are super aware of other people's movements within the show, other people's dialogue, because of course that's what you're listening for. All of these subconscious cues that your body is flagging for yourself so that you're like, oh, this is me. Oh, I'm coming. I have to go get ready by the stairs. There's all of these things. It's an incredible brain, the performer's brain. It just compartmentalizes everything so that you just prepares you for anything. But yes, you do start to learn everyone's songs and
handy.
Everyone's dialogue. Yeah.
You could play Tony one night.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine? It'd be chaos, but I'd give it a red hot go.
Okay, what about some of the other shows you've been in? Have you ever had to step up either, maybe, you know, with a little bit of notice when perhaps the leading actor decides to take the weekend off, or perhaps isn't there for the matinee, or maybe at a time when you're given not very much notice? Has that happened?
Yes, I think it has happened to me often. I think I wouldn't say the scariest time, because I was ready, but in the moment it was probably one of the scariest times that I've ever been put on. It was on for Mary Poppins, actually, and it was the week after opening. And for me, I was in the ensemble and I covered Miss Corrie and Mary Poppins. And a week before we got into the theater for our dress tech, I was in a moon boot because I injured my ankle. I didn't do a full run of my show, and I was learning all of the Mary material kind of from home or sitting by the side. I then got COVID, so I was literally learning the show via Zoom and watching them in the rehearsal room. So there were so many challenges leading up to this point. I managed to get back on stage. I did my opening night in my ensemble track. And then a week and a bit after opening, a couple of the cast members started to fall sick. And so I knew that I would probably be the person that would be thrown on for Mary. And so me backstage, I already knew my lines. I knew my music. But it got to the point where I hadn't rehearsed some of the scenes with the playing cast. I hadn't run some of the scenes with really anyone, because I was kind of by myself learning a lot of this material, because we've just come out of tech and opening night. So there wasn't a lot of time during the day for rehearsals for us. So aside from the big major production numbers, I was kind of like, I don't know that I've run this with anyone, and I haven't been on parts of the set really to kind of explore. And anyway, it was the Sunday night of the week after opening that during the matinee, our player for Mary Poppins was really unwell. And I thought, right, they're going to put me on. So I was the only Mary cover in the building. So I said, well, if I say no, I can't do this, and the show's cancelled. So I had to say, yes, I'll do it. And I was put on. That afternoon after the show, I waited around for about half an hour, and then eventually I had a chat with our residents, and they are all wonderful. They have been throughout the week just like pulling me aside, teaching me things, quickly going over things whenever they could. And I remember going on and saying, they're like, you'll be right, right? And I thought, you know what? I have no more time to learn anything more. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to be all right. But literally moments before stepping on that stage, I had the feeling of, I could absolutely blow this for my entire career, going on and feeling as scared and unprepared as I am. But funnily enough, I also had my co-rehearsal partner, who was the understudy for Bert, also thrown on the same day. And we both were on stage together for our first shows. And having my rehearsal partner there on stage with me, I think, was a godsend, because I at least felt some sort of comfortability having someone familiar with me. By the end of the show, I looked at my rehearsal partner as we were doing the final bow sequence and the final dance, and I looked at him for the first time, actually looking at him instead of looking through him, and I burst into tears with him, because I just thought, I don't know how we've both done this, but we've absolutely nailed it.
Given that if you weren't there, the show would be cancelled, a lot of kids in particular would go home very, very upset, or not turn up at the theatre at all. It might be their first time ever at the theatre, yeah, and you want to give them a great experience. What happens? How does the company or the producers, how do they thank you for rescuing the show?
This is the thing that I've learned over the years. I think if you have good producers, they will absolutely come in and say, thank you so much for your hard work. In the end, it is our job. So I have throughout the years learned that as long as I'm singing my own praises, and as long as I'm doing the hard work, and I know that I am doing my job to the best of my ability, I can get no thanks and be okay with it, because in the end, we are hired to do that job. So, yeah, I think producers have a lot of pressures to be thinking about. And I think as a performer who is hired to do the hard jobs, I think we have to kind of just celebrate each other. I think that there's a great community within cast and crew who celebrate each other and say, we recognize what you've done and it is incredible what you do. So I think that's special, and that's something that we nurture within our community. But I think first and foremost, I think it's ourselves, really. And it's like anything in life, if you rely on yourself, then you'll never be, you know, really, truly let down. So as long as you're your own cheer person, then, yeah, it's enough to get you by.
All right. You were also recently in Miss Saigon. That is a massive production. You've got the storming of the US embassy. You've got the fall of the South Vietnamese government. You've got a war going on. How do you get noticed in a show like that when there's so much chaos on stage?
Yeah, it's Miss Saigon, again, also a dream show that I have always wanted to be a part of in a professional capacity. It's one of those shows where there's so much, as you said, politically that's going on and that is commented on within such a short amount of time, and it's so dense in its plot that within the 2.5 hours that you're watching this show, there's so many other little important stories that happen within that time, that it's the heartbeat of the ecosystem of what it was that was this war and this like terrible, terrible time and the suffering of the people and the everything that the community was dealing with at the time. There's so many other through lines, I think, that breathe life to this story, aside from the given circumstances of the time. And I think that was what made Miss Saigon as a production really special. I think the way that it's written, and it just gives little glimpses and highlights of parts of the community of what was happening during the time, I think is enough to highlight to audiences, oh, it's so much more than just a war. There's people that are affected, and there's people who are trying to live their lives through this time. And there is struggle, and there is conflict, unlike us in Australia, a privileged in a way where we, you know, might not have experienced it. Yeah. And so I feel like it's a beautiful way in which the show can just highlight little snippets of within the ecosystem of what was happening, yeah, at the time.
That's a big show, and that's been around for a while. That's been around for 30-odd years or so. West Side Story has been around for about 60 years. You are playing roles that other people have played and have originated. What about when you're in a show like, say, Fangirls, where you originate the character, when you are the one that everyone else will be copying later down the track? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy what we do as a job. I think truly think it's the same thing. Whenever you approach a character, you bring as much of yourself as you can to the character. I think the great thing about developing a character from scratch is you are literally, there's words on a page, and there's the way that it's been written by the writer, that you breathe life into it in a way that any first person to pick up the script and to do the same thing, it's the same thing where you breathe as much life of yourself into it as you can. And I think playing the role of Brianna was the most chaotic thing I think I've ever done. It was so fabulous. It was so chaotic and high energy, and just all of my like teenage anxious angst that I had, I just fueled into this character. And it was just, it's therapeutic in a way, truly. It's so wonderful and weird in many ways that we can just put so much of ourselves into these characters. And it's very special to know that I have left a part of myself in that script and in that rendition of that show, and to hope that it does pass on each production that it happens again. So it is very special to be a part of an original work. And I think, like anything, whenever you do a production, you always leave a little part of yourself if it's passed on. So it's a very, very wonderful legacy to have.
Because there might be somebody in that audience who is looking at you playing that role and thinking, I want to play that role one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did that happen with you? What was a show that you went to, perhaps, you know, as a child or as a teenager growing up, that you thought, this is why I'm interested in this. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I was growing up, it was really hard to afford to see any live theatre, to be honest. And I think the first time that I ever saw a live professional musical was when I saw Wicked. And I think I was probably about 16 at the time, 16 or 17. And I remember sitting in the audience right at the back, like the cheapest seat you could get. And it was at the Brisbane Lyric Theatre at QPAC. And I was right in the nosebleeds, right at the back. And I just remember the overture happening. And I had this feeling in my stomach. And seeing the performers do what they do, I just thought, I can't believe that people are able to do this and be paid to do this as a career, and how incredibly just affects people. I was sitting so far away and I was so affected by what these people were doing on stage. I just thought, how incredible to think that I could maybe have a job that can do this for people that are watching me. And I am constantly reminded of it, that I have these full circle moments of when I would go on for, say, a cover, say, when I was on for Princess Anna. You know, normally you would probably see an actor that is not typically cast as like as an Asian person in the role of Princess Anna. But when I went on in Sydney at the Capitol Theatre, and I walked out, and we're in Haymarket, And I was on for Anna that day, and I could see all of these little Asian girls dressed up in their Princess Anna outfits and coming up to me and saying like how much they enjoyed it and how much they loved it and how they do singing lessons and they do dance lessons and that they want to perform when they grow older. It truly is humbling and reminds me that that was me. And I never had the opportunity to experience that at their age, but I can see just how excited they are. And so it's incredibly humbling to be able to give that back, because I received so much and it was what has given me my career now.
That's what theatre is all about, isn't it? Inspiring that next generation as well. One of the things about West Side Story, of course, is that you are a little bit further away from the audience. You know, there is a gap between the stage and the audience. So maybe you can't see those faces looking up, wishing that they were Anita. I don't know, but I can absolutely assure you that people are loving your performance and the entire production. And Kimberly, thank you so much for telling us about it this morning.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
ABC Listen, podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.